Hi, I'm Peter. We're ministering for the morning over the Eagles loss. It's okay. Now, I wanted them to win too. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. I like 15 power. I don't like him now. But what a great church you have. That was terrible. I'm going to give you one more chance. What a great church you have. Yeah. Amen. You know, Pastor just... We're going to have a little more worship just in a moment. And you, give a hand to your worship team. They did a fantastic job this morning. Fantastic. There's something powerful about declaration. And I heard this thing that one of the top neurosurgeons in Korea, actually he's one of the world leading neurosurgeons, and he knows Dr. Cho. Dr. Yonggi Cho got that little house group in Seoul, Korea, of about a million people. And this doctor said, Dr. Cho, we've made this incredible discovery that the vocal center of the brain overrides every center. He said, in fact, you can probe, they can probe and activate different parts of the brain, the motor parts of the brain that will cause a motor function, the parts of the brain that will cause an emotional response. They said, but when the part of the brain that's involved with speech is activated, the whole brain activates. And so he said, the mouth actually controls the whole body. And this neurosurgeon is telling this to Dr. Cho, like this incredible new discovery. And he said, oh, I have known this for a very long time. And if you're Korean, please forgive my accent. They all end up Pakistani after a while, no matter what I try. And he said, I've known that for a long time. He said, how could you know this, Dr. Cho? Because I learned it from Dr. James. Because the Bible says in the book of James, the tongue, though being small. So when you make a declaration, God is able. Something powerful happens. So I don't want you to think this is like a little gimmick or, you know, there's something, oh boy, what are we going to do? Let's put T-shirts with God is able on it. Something's powerful when you make a powerful declaration with your mouth. You're actually training your brain into pathways that, sadly, the world has trained our brain in the wrong way. You know, the supernatural, we are designed to walk naturally in the supernatural. Miracles and the blessing of God should be commonplace, but we've been trained by the world to think and feel otherwise. But when we make declarations about the greatness of our God, when we use our mouth to proclaim what God says, not what the world says, we actually change the chemistry and the wiring of our brain. You know, the world says, oh, you come to church, you'd be brainwashed. You know what? We needed our brain to be washed. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're just going to spend a few more moments just worshiping the Lord, not because your team didn't do an amazing job. They did an amazing job. But do you know what? I know not everybody's musical. Please don't look at the person right next to you now. But there is something that all of us are called to do. And, you know, I thank God for evangelists and teachers and people that minister to the poor and that. But there's one thing every single one of us are going to be doing for eternity, and that's worshiping our God. You know, every believer is called to be a worshiper. So just for a moment, you don't need some other sermon, and we'll, you know, we're going to get into the Word. I thank God for the Word. But I just want you this morning, I love what Pastor David said, that God wants to ambush us this morning. You know, every single person here, God has a plan and a purpose for good. Every single one of us, sometimes we can feel, we look at other people being blessed, we look at other people that they're seeing the blessings of God, and we think, well, why has God forgotten me? No, God has a plan and a purpose for you today. So can we just stand to our feet? We're just going to spend a couple of moments. Thank you, God. We're going to use our voices to proclaim the goodness of God. Amen. I cast my mind, come on, to hear you sing, to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me.
I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree.
Come on, let's just sing.
His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone.
Come on, church, let's lift our voices to the Lord.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. On the third and break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again.
Yes,
oh, tremble death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ. Shall return in robes of white.
Come on, he sing.
And I will my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise him forevermore. For endless days we will sing our praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God.
I want to hear your voices.
Oh, of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing our praise. Oh, Lord our God.
Oh, Lord.
We will see.
you, God. Something so powerful when we proclaim what the Lord's done for us. You know, so many of us, we lend our mouth to what the devil wants for our life. But when we use our mouth to proclaim our God is able, our God is good, something so powerful about that. I just want us to sing a scripture. This is a scripture I put to music a few years ago. But the Jews, they sing the word of God over their kids and over their families. By His stripes I'm healed. By His stripes I'm healed. By His stripes I'm healed. I'm healed. Thank you, Lord. He was pierced for our transgression, crushed for our iniquity. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. Got sickness in your body, if you're facing symptoms or pain, just raise your hands in the presence of the Lord just for a few moments. You know, Pastor prayed this morning for peace. It's in that place of peace that we receive the promises of God. So just as he even said the scripture, the cast all your cares upon the Lord because He cares for you. Don't look to yourselves. Don't worry about it, because the healing's not your job. That's God's job. Our God is able. Let's just sing that first part again. By His stripes. By His stripes I'm healed. By His stripes I'm healed. By His stripes I'm healed. I'm healed. Thank You, I'm healed. I am. Father, I just thank You, God. Your word says that You sent Your word and You healed them. That, Father, healing is the children's bread. I just thank You for Your anointing here that destroys every yoke, removes every burden, God. Thank You, God. I know this is a really old and corny song, but I just want... We are standing on holy ground, and I know that
Jesus, now we are standing in His presence on holy ground.
Come on, let's just thank Him. Just praise Him, just with our voices. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Praise you, Jesus. How good is our God? How good is our God? Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. That was your pastor's fault, that last song. That's totally his fault. I hadn't sung or thought of that song in probably 20 years. And just when he sort of, you know, we need to get back sometimes in awe and an expectancy of what God wants to do in this place.
Amen.
You know, when something special happens when God's people get together. I mean, I thank God that we've got great Christian TV and great Christian resources. I love it. I love it. I watch it. I abide of it. But there's something powerful when God's people gather together. It's just an expectancy that we really are on holy ground. And it's not because of it's a building. It's not because of anything else other than, you know what? The Bible says where two or more are gathered in His name, He's there in the midst. The Holy Ghost is here now. It's a powerful thing. I just want to share something that's really strong on my heart at the moment. And just when Pastor said, you know, oh, we're doing this theme on God is able, he wasn't saying, look, this is what you've got to preach on. I'm just letting you know what's going on. And I thought of this story. You know, there was this great preacher named Charles Spurgeon. Still to this day, it blows my mind, you know. You know you've got sort of an impacting ministry when you can be dead at like 100 and something years and people are still reading your sermons. That's pretty good. Like I did my first worship album nearly 20 years ago, and when people tell me that they listen to it, I'm nearly like, wow, you know, far out, something 20 years old. And this guy's been like, he was in the 1800s. And he told this story of... you know, in this time, there wasn't the social welfare or the safety net that we enjoy in this wonderful country that we live in. You know, if you were going on hard times, you were on your own. And he was pastor of a large church, and he had to visit this lady who was basically living in boxes. You know, some of us who've studied history would have seen, like in the Great Depression, they had these places called shanty towns where basically they were just... open areas of land where people just, they couldn't afford to rent or buy or anything, so they just put anything together, anything to provide shelter, and they lived there. And this is what
this lady was doing. And basically, she was an elderly lady, but she was basically dying of starvation. And so Dr. Spurgeon goes to this place to minister to her, being a pastor, and he noticed something that was on the wall. And he went up to her and he said, "Do you mind if I just have a look at that?" And she said, "Yes," with great pride. She began to tell a story that she for many years had looked after the house of very, very wealthy people. It was in England, and these people of nobility. And she was in charge of running the house. She basically ran the whole house for like 50 years. And she said when the lady of the manor passed as she was dying, she gave this to me. And it was a thing of great pride to her. And she had it mounted in the wall of this little boxes, house made out of boxes and crates. And Dr. Spurgeon just said, "Look, would you mind if I just take that with me? I'd just like to examine this thing a little further." And she said, "Of course you can, but just I want you to make sure that you bring this back to me because it's very special to me." And he took it to I don't know exactly what the department would be, but it was some government titles and offices thing. And it was a deed and a bequeathment for property and for money for this woman to be cared for very, very well for the rest of her life. The thing is, she couldn't read. She never knew. To her, it was like this nice little plaque that said nice things about her. And they said, "We've been looking for this because this is a title to property. And for her to be looked after in comfort for the rest of her life." And the sad thing is, even though that had been done, and that was hers, it was still hers. She never got the benefit of it because she didn't know it was hers. I see so many people walking around with this. And we've got scriptures on our walls, and we've got and yet we're living in the lack, not realizing what God has already paid for us and that what is already ours. Like I still, even telling this story, I get teary when I think of the tragedy that this woman, now praise God, she got there in the end. But for so many years, she had suffered in lack because she didn't know what was already hers. And so I'd just like to share a few scriptures this morning. You know, one of my favorite scriptures, and I see this, you turn to Romans 5:17. I hear this scripture preached a lot, and I thank God there's a revelation of the grace and the goodness of God. And this scripture is preached a lot. It says, "For by one man's offense, death reigns through the one. Much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ." The Amplified actually says they will reign in life as kings. And I love that. I think that's great. But a word just jumped out at me. And it was... It says of the abundance, a lot of people say the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. We know, and our pastor was talking this morning, your pastor, about the fact that, you know, we're not perfect, but thank God for the blood of Jesus. That we escape that judgment that we in our own selves deserve, because Jesus himself became our Passover lamb. And because of it, we were gifted righteousness, the right to be stand in the presence of God. Thank God. But a lot of people stopped there and I thought, it says, and of the gift. And I felt like the Lord, this is how he explained it to me. I'm a simple guy, I'm a muso. You can give a gift. Say someone gives me this iPhone as a gift. Okay? And I think, oh, that's pretty good. What a great gift. But you know, this thing, it's my diary. It's my emails. I have my sermon notes on it. I have multiple translations of the Bible. It was my GPS to get here today. I've got all my photos on it. It's my camera. I do my banking. I book my flight. I book the car that I drove here in on this device. I sometimes look at Facebook. Don't judge me. I check the football scores. Don't judge me. There's so many, and I could go on all day. Demos for albums that I have recorded, ideas I've recorded into this device. And you know what? I've heard you can even make telephone calls with it. But with all of the wonderful things that this thing does, imagine if I thought this thing can only make phone calls. To receive of this gift, I need to know everything this sucker does. And no, this is mine to use. The Lord has provided so. I realized one day I was spending most of my time begging and asking God to give me stuff that He had already given me through the cross. I just want to share a few things this morning. Do you realize, I see so many people, who wants a touch of the presence of the Lord? I know I do. Do you know, because of the blood of Jesus, He has fully paid for us to be able to expect His presence. If you've got a Bible, I'm going to fly through a lot of this stuff, but Ephesians 2, 11 to 13 says, "Therefore remember that once you Gentiles in the flesh who were called the uncircumcision, by the way, what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now," say now, "now in Christ Jesus, you who were far off have now been brought near by the blood of Christ." Do you realize you have access to bring the presence of God and the anointing of God into every situation that you are because of the blood of Jesus? I don't go to the Lord and say, "God, please show your presence this morning because I prayed yesterday." You know, and it's good that I prayed yesterday. I don't go, "Lord, I thank you for your presence and your anointing because I was in the Word yesterday." And I was in the Word yesterday. That's good. But my premise is I thank God because of the blood of Jesus. I can expect fully because of what He has fully paid for in the cross to have His presence in every area of my life. When I come into my kids' room at night and they tell me stuff and things that are troubling them, I can encourage them and say, "I'm going to pray and God is going to come into this situation. And you are not alone because the presence of God is here because of the blood of Jesus." Our God is able. All because of the blood. Yet so many people, they're just begging, "God, God, please come. Please come." The Bible says in Hebrews 4, verse 16, "Let us come boldly to the throne room of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need." The Lord never will forsake you because He forsook Jesus on the cross. The only time that the Lord referred to God as God and not His Father was on the cross when He became sin. When He said, "Oh God, my God, why have Thou forsaken Him?" It's like the Father had to turn His back on the Son so that He would never have to turn His back on you. And as people of God, we need to come back to an expectancy that you walk in the presence and the power of the Holy Ghost. Do you know what? You are wall to what? The Bible says you're the temple of the Holy Ghost. You know, we might see this once. Oh, yeah, there's a few people here. This building's pretty full of people. You are filled with God. And we need to remind ourselves sometimes. I need to get look in the mirror. Oh. Look that person in the mirror and go, "You know what? Because of what Jesus did on the cross, you are filled with the power of God." "Oh, you can say that because you're a preacher." No, I can say that because I'm a Christian. God has qualified me to walk in His presence, praise the Lord. healing and wholeness. We sung this scripture before. I'm going to read it from the Amplified, the same scripture that we sung. Surely has borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses and distresses and carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten and afflicted by God as if with leprosy. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him, and with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. Praise God. Paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because you're a person that's been saved 30 years and been to Bible school and a preacher? No, because I'm in Christ. I'm a Christian. Do you know what you need to qualify for this? If you've accepted Jesus and you're breathing, and Pastor and I can deal with both of those problems, if either one of those two is a problem this morning for you. If you don't know Jesus, we'll introduce you to Jesus. If you're not breathing, Pastor will raise you from the dead and you can start believing again. That's right. We've graded and thought we've looked at the blessings and the promises of God as if there's something that, you know, one day, that I was like, one day I'll have money. I had all of this the day I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Freedom from guilt and shame. Oh my goodness. Hebrews chapter 10, turn there please. Verse 22. Actually, Pastor basically stole most of my sermon this morning. I felt like going, hey, are you right? Leave me at least something. It says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our conscience sprinkled from an evil conscience and our body washed with pure water. Do you know what? I'm medically trained by my career. Before I was a minister, I was a pharmacist, and I've worked a lot in various realms of the medical industry, and worked a lot because I worked in what is known as compounding, where we make things for a lot of specialists, and a lot of them were behavioral, like psychologists and psychiatrists and things like that. And so I know a fair bit about the natural part of that science, and even science has discovered that the majority of compulsive and addictive behaviors are driven by shame. You know, sometimes you feel the worse we make a person feel about themselves, and the more guilt and the more condemnation we put on them, that somehow that's going to straighten them up. But that actually becomes the engine and the empowerment of that compulsive behavior and of that addiction. But something powerful happens when the love of God comes into a person's life. Once I was lost, now I'm found. Was blind and now I see. That man was a murderer who wrote that song. He used to run slave ships. And I'm not wanting to sound shocking or make anyone feel uncomfortable, but if the slaves had babies, they would murder them on the boat because they were too much. And this is the man who had the revelation that because of Jesus, how amazing grace, that sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind, I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Praise God. We need to sometimes, your past will speak to you at times. Your past will tell you the reasons why God won't move in your life. Maybe the reasons why you deserve the mess you're in. But when that happens, I use my voice to proclaim what Jesus has done for me. That the price has been fully paid, and come back to the cross and thank you. thank him. That the next scripture that I'll read, I won't go there for a time, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That old sinful person doesn't even exist anymore in the name of Jesus. And if you sinned on the way to church, just thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God that he has removed the stain. He has removed the shame. And he has imparted his righteousness to you because of Jesus. We just, so many times I see people, and it really is a blockage in the area for healing. You know, I have a compassion for healing, and we pray for a lot of people, seeing a lot of miracles. But I've seen people ask the question sometimes, how come you'll see a person who, look, man, they've been saved 20 seconds. I mean, like the old joke, you know, talk about come out of the fires, their pants are still smoking. And then you'll get a beautiful saint of God who's been in the house of the Lord for 50 years who's struggling in this area. And this one gets healed like that and this one doesn't. Now, I don't know the answers to everything, so I don't want to put anyone under condemnation or feel bad, but I heard a very seasoned minister who'd been ministering for over 60 years, and he was asked that same question. And this pastor had asked about two particular people. He said, this guy, we didn't even know, we hardly even knew the guy was saved. Comes down, instantly healed. This one, pillar of the church, been struggling. And he said, oh, well, I'll tell you why. In this situation, this man came down and he was like the man. Remember the story where Jesus is watching and he just said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. He said, this man didn't come based on his great prayer life. He didn't come based on his incredible revelation. He didn't come based on how much he'd tithe. And all of those are great things that will bless your life. So don't misunderstand me. He came and received because he realized it was a complete work of the cross done fully by Jesus. And this other wonderful person, God bless this wonderful saint of God, had her hopes pinned on the fact that she was such a great Christian. And I see it's so easy to slip into that. I hear it where I've said myself, God, when I see a person who's a wonderful Christian, and I do not understand, I'm not going to for 1 minute understand why sometimes horrible things happen to wonderful, godly people. Don't understand for 1 minute. But I'll ask sometimes, why did that happen to such a good Christian? You know what I should be saying? Why did that happen to that Christian? Because if you're a Christian, you are qualified, the Bible says, to receive of all the good things of God. There is no gradings. God, okay, you know, like I got on a plane here. Okay, first class, here you come. There is no, and then they, and first class. You know what? In first class, they treat you different. I love business class. I love it. Don't look at me. Don't judge me. If you want to sit at the back of the plane, go for it. You know, some person there and they fall asleep and they're on you and they're slobbering all over you and things like that, you know. You know, in business class, when I've, you know, been blessed and ministered some places and they know your name. Mr. Robertson, here's your seat. Is there anything I can get you? Sometimes in economy, can I have a drink? No, shut up, sit down. God bless you. Do you know what? There's no economy, righteousness. In Jesus, it's all first class. Now, I'm not talking about temporal things. I'm saying the Bible says he has qualified us to be partakers of all of his goodness. And we need to come back to that fact. It has been bought for completely in full by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our God is able. Amen. Do you know the sad thing is I'll go to church. This is a great church where the power of God is preached. And I'll say, who believes God can heal? Every hand goes up. Who believes God can do a miracle in your life? Every hand goes up. Who believes God will do it for you? Oh, I don't know. Oh, I don't know. Why? Because if you were God, you could think of all the reasons why you wouldn't bless you. God says to you, all the promises of God are yes and amen, amen. In Christ. The promises are yours. And do you know, and you say, well, how come the more we're in the Lord, the more we see it? It's just because we become more aware of what's already ours in Christ. I could go on, you know, righteousness. The word righteousness just simply means right. It's a legal term. It means right standing. You know, if I get pulled up by a police officer in a speed trap and I'm doing the speed limit, it doesn't matter if he doesn't like me. He might say, yeah, this guy's a preacher. I hate preachers. This guy's from Queensland. I hate him even more. Doesn't matter. I'm righteous in the sight of the law. Right? There's nothing he can do. The Bible says, he who had no sin became sin so that I might become the righteousness of God in him. You have a righteous right. Now listen to me. We know God is merciful. Right? And we know that he is merciful. But because of the blood of Jesus, we actually have a righteous right to expect the blessing of God. Now, if you've got a religious spirit, you just manifested. Because that's so hard for our brain to comprehend, that Jesus is the reason that I can expect blessing on my family, healing in my body, my needs met according to his riches and glory, to see the blessing and the favor of God, to know that when I pray for someone, I'm going to see God move. Why? Because you're a preacher. No, because I'm a Christian. Praise God. And I believe God is speaking to his church and his people to begin to recognize. I don't believe this is an accident or a gimmick. To realize every one of you, because of what Jesus has accomplished on the cross, can stand up. And the Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion and begin to proclaim, it doesn't matter what's happened in my past. It doesn't matter what disadvantages that I may see in the natural of my life. Because I'm in Christ, I proclaim and expect blessing over my family, blessing over my life, healing in my body, provision and prosperity in Jesus' name. Why? Because I'm in him. I'm preaching a whole lot better than you're responding to that. Every one of you, we need to realize, change this thing. Change this thing. You're blessed. You need to get up every morning and go, you know what? I'm blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. You go, oh man, I wish I had a rich dad. Your dad owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and all the gold and all the silver. I'm blessed. They say, are you expecting a good inheritance? You know, some people that have, you know, got rich parents, you're expecting a good inheritance? My goodness, you can't even comprehend the inheritance that's mine. And you know what? If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's yours too. Don't be like that dear woman who spent her whole life missing out on what was already hers. Just look to the Lord just for a second. Father, we just thank you for your presence. I just thank you, Lord, as the apostle prayed, you open the eyes of our understanding that we'd know the hope to which we called. Every single one of you that have accepted Jesus, and I was facing the front, so I don't know, maybe someone here accepted the Lord Jesus when Pastor made that call before. But you now have a right to expect the goodness of God. Are you saying, Peter, just go sin, do whatever you like, it doesn't matter? You know what? I believe you're intelligent people with a brain. Anybody with half a brain knows that doesn't work. And the world's out there full of people that are just desperately unhappy. If you've got an addiction or something that is holding you back, you need to accept right now, because of Jesus, I can come boldly into his presence and believe that the power of God is going to break that thing off my life. I challenge you to just even, as I believe the Holy Ghost has spoken to this church to be proclaiming God is able. Just begin to speak over those areas in your life that you aren't seeing lining up with the promises of God. If you've got lack in your finances, Father, I thank you in Jesus' name that you are my source. If you're struggling with sickness and pain, Father, I thank you. You're my healer. You know, even lay hands on your medication. You know, people say, oh, you're a pharmacist. Do I believe God or do I use my medication? Do both. Praise the Lord. The devil hates you. He doesn't want you well in any way. So just put your hand. Father, I just thank you, Lord. If you're going to the doctor, just believe God that the wisdom of God will speak through that man or woman. You are blessed. Bob says, blessed coming in, blessed going out, blessed in the city, blessed in the field. That's why I did that scripture CD, because I wanted my children and I wanted myself to be saturated in the fact that I am blessed in Him. Father, I thank you for every person. Just in this, just moments. I know we've run out of time. Just raise your hands to the Lord. And I want you to just say this simple thing after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I receive all of your promises because you paid for them in full. I thank you that I am blessed because you paid for it in full. And I thank you that I can expect good things in my life because you paid for it in full. In Jesus' name, amen.